Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th-and-1.
So, anyways, with that, time jerks.
Welcome to 4th-and-1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs for a Father's Day edition of the podcast. And obviously, look, Nick, mandatory minicamps in the books. Anything surprise you that came out of mandatory minicamp this last week?
No, not at all. I am curious to see what the Chiefs offensive line will look like when preseason and training camp roll around. So I'm eagerly awaiting to see them in pads. But other than that, nothing that really stunned me per se.
Right. I mean, good news is, other than the Kyle Long injury, which had happened a couple weeks ago, seems like the Chiefs made it through pretty healthy. I thought the most interesting development was also not a particularly surprising one, but kind of the confirmation that Chris Jones is going to get used at defensive end a little bit more, and look, I think should be able to help, ease the burden at that position. Like, I mean, that's probably that's the thinnest spot on the defense, depending on how you feel about, linebacker, I guess. But, defensive end was certainly a position of need. You think Chris Jones is a good, a workable solution there?
I think he's a rotational solution, especially on third downs. I get that, and obvious pass rushing situations. I think that's where you're going to have the most benefit of him potentially working outside. But it'll be interesting to see if he goes against some athletic, whether it's left tackle or right tackle, is how he fares against them, because a big part of Chris's game that makes him so effective is how quickly he can shoot the gap and get upfield, especially against left guards and centers that aren't, or right guards, guards and centers that just aren't necessarily as quick. So that's kind of one of his biggest benefits that he's had, and kind of where he shines and where it's always been a mismatch for him. I know he gets double teamed at times, but that's what makes Chris so effective and where he's had such an advantage in his career. So I'll be interested in that. I mean, and I'll be curious to see if they put him in on some clear rundowns, because he had some issues at times being able to close down on the backside when there'd be cutback lanes, because he didn't have a good feel for it at the time, as he hadn't been out there a significant amount at that position. And then also just kind of, if teams try to run at him and double team him, I'm curious to see how he's able to hold up against that.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up the run defense aspect of it, and that's why, I mean, you mentioned third down, but because he has struggled, against the run at times, could you see him moving out there first and second down as well? Especially if they're facing a team that's run heavy, like let's say, they face the Titans and Derrick Henry or something like that. How do you see him used, and what would be the situations you would most like to see Chris Jones used at on the edge?
First and foremost, in sub packages, it'd be the one spot I'd really like to see him at. Like I said, on obvious pass rushing down, especially on third and five or longer, I'd enjoy seeing him out there, and I think that'd make a big difference for both him and Clark and Reed and Tershawn Wharton and maybe even Colin Saunders. We'll see. I think that's kind of where the biggest impact that he can have. Like, if it's a second and long, that could be another time where I think. But on first downs, when it's, you don't really know, or potentially if a team, if the Chiefs are up by 17, 21 points and the opponent has to clearly go to a passing at that point to catch back up, then that's another time where I could definitely see that, and the down and distance don't matter anymore.
And look, this is all possible because of the signing of Jerron Reed, right? Yep. Like, I mean, I'm not sure that Chiefs fans understand. Like, I mean, that was, there's a lot of attention's been paid to the offensive line rebuild, and with good reason, if you watch the Super Bowl, and if you're a Chiefs fan, I'm going to assume that you did. But that Reed signing is what's allowing for some flexibility on the defensive line. And look, he's a guy, he only had 2 sacks in 2019, but he had 10 and a half in 2018. He had 6.5 last year. He's a guy who's proven he can get to the quarterback from the interior. And that ability, along with Tershawn Wharton, who you'd expect to make a jump in year two, gives them the freedom to kind of see what Chris Jones can do outside.
You make points I can't dispute, sir.
More good news to come. I mean, look, obviously, Patrick Mahomes isn't out there scrambling around. He's not doing a lot of second reaction type stuff in mandatory mini camp, but it looks like the foot's fine. Do you have any reason to believe that Patrick Mahomes won't be 100% come the opener against the Cleveland Browns?
No, I don't. And I don't think him, I don't think he would be pushing it. And I don't think the coaching staff would have him push it if that were the case. I mean, I think they're doing what he's comfortable with, what he's capable of right now. And it seemed like almost everything out there didn't seem to be any issue in any way, shape or form. So I mean, they're not going to risk a random OTA or mini camp for their franchise quarterback to aggravate an injury or to have some issue. So I'm personally not worried about him being out there. I thought that was very encouraging that he's already at that spot. And I hope that he gets to rest it even more in the pocket whenever the games start, because that offensive line protection is so good.
Yeah, and let's talk real quick about mandatory minicamp. I mean, look, the Chiefs didn't even use all their time. I mean, they basically left a day and a half on the table here where they could have used more. Is that Andy, like, kind of giving a nod to the team and the success they've had and the veteran guys and not wanting to waste their time by making them do reps for the sake of doing reps? Or, you know, I mean, or is it just an indication that, you know, because a lot of times, you know, during the season, they try to be efficient. They try to get as many reps in as they can. But Andy's MO has always been to kind of give the guys, you know, a free day, so to speak, and rather than keep them in town on that last day of minicamp. And, you know, we saw it again this year. I mean, is that, does minicamp just not matter that much? Or do you think that Andy just, he knows what he wants to get out of it. He got what he wanted out of it, and no need to waste anybody else's time.
Yeah, no, I like you said, the key word with Andy is efficiency, and that's what that guy's about. So, I mean, I think they clearly got the work done that he wanted to. I think he was comfortable with the amount of participation that they had overall. I think he was happy with where that was at, and I feel like he thinks he got quality work out of everybody, because if he didn't feel those things, he would have kept practice, you know, he would have kept practice going. And so that's where I think with that, I mean, just having been around Andy's practices since 2013, that's kind of how that operates. I mean, he's got this system set in Kansas City. I mean, it's set, you know, the players know what to expect. The players know how to teach the other guys what to expect. They get a good feel for it. And like, it's nice for the Chiefs to have a culture that's set and has been stable and consistent for as long as it has, to where you're not changing every 3 years and you don't know what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, when's practice happen, how are we going to approach this, what do they want from this or that. It's just the Chiefs don't have those questions, and that's another part of the reason that the franchise has the success that it does, is because of the stability that Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and others on the coaching staff have been able to provide.
Another interesting development, kind of, I mean, as far as, you know, relatively interesting given the time of year we're in, Tyrann Mathieu kind of has done a 180. I mean, there was a time when he was kind of, you know, making it sound like he didn't feel like he was getting the respect he had earned or deserved or wanted with respect to the contract negotiations. But Patrick Mahomes made it clear that he wants Tyrann Mathieu here as long as, you know, as long as possible. And Mathieu struck a much more deferential tone, I thought, in the conversations that he had this week around mandatory minicamp. Do you think a deal eventually gets done and they do end up extending him beyond this year, or do you think he tests the free agent market next offseason?
I think we'll see where things at before the regular season begins. I mean, I was optimistic that a deal was going to get done in March, and then, you know, some of the tweets made you kind of wonder if things were still going well or not. But I personally, you know, hearing the tone and tenor that he had this past week was promising. So for the most part, I think it'll be interesting to see how the next month goes and how that all shapes out. And then I'm going to keep an eye on Jamal Adams' situation up in Seattle to see how that works out and if he's able to get a deal done, because then at that point, the market's pretty much set with Justin Simmons and him to where Mathieu can know where he needs to come in at from a rate perspective. If he wanted to be the highest paid safety or one of the highest paid safeties, then that gives that barometer to where they could hit that per number, per year number, guarantee number, and all that. But I know he's really shined at OTA's minicamp from what I've heard, and that he's done really well and he's been motivated, and it's clearly a contract year. So I personally think you're going to get the best out of Tyrann Mathieu. But I mean, what he said in that press conference, you know, I hope that's what he genuinely feels, because if that's the case, then I think he knows what a good home it is for him here in Kansas City, and just kind of the culture and foundation that he's got here is probably the best that he'll arguably have had in his career.
Right. I mean, I think you're better off playing with Patrick Mahomes than playing against him.
Yes.
At this point, especially in the AFC, when you look at their track record the last 3 years. Anything else you think worth mentioning coming out of minicamp?
No, not for the most. I mean, I'm very interested to see what happens at the X receiver position and if anybody becomes available in the next 2 months. And then I'll be curious to see if there's any players that potentially become available. But you know, I will say it is unfortunate that the Martinez Rankin thing didn't work out when the Chiefs waived him to sign from Blue Springs High School in North Dakota State, Darius Shepherd. So it'll be interesting to see if Darius can do anything at receiver or as a kick returner, punt returner, like he did up in Green Bay. But it's unfortunate to see that the Rankin era ended here, and he honestly never seemed like he regained the form from that knee injury that he had
a
long time ago at this point.
Yeah, he was playing well 2 years ago before the ACL, and then struggled to find a spot. Who's the backup left tackle now? A lot of people had assumed it was Rankin. Who inherits that spot now?
I think they got some options.
Are you one of those options?
No, I'm not one of those options.
I feel like that would be disappointing, because the podcast that it would take a hit if you were having to work around Andy Reid's schedule. But I feel like I would get some pretty good insider information in that situation.
No, you wouldn't. And if the Chiefs organization is listening right now, they would. No media member would ever get anything out of me ever. I'll even change my phone number. I've had that phone number since 2004. Yeah. But now, from a left tackle perspective, it wouldn't stun me if somebody like Niang or Wiley got some opportunities. I don't think Yasir Durant would have that, but I could see Yasir Durant potentially playing guard or tackle. But
what about Prince Tega Nwang? I can never get his name right. I always have to look it up every time.
No, I get you.
Prince Tega Winago.
I think they could rotate him in, but I think more than anything, especially with Niang, he's the guy that needs to develop on both sides of the tackle spot to potentially be a swing tackle if they need him to, or whatever they need to develop him as. I think that's kind of the key for him right now with the time that he had practice wise and what he'll have up at training camp.
Yeah, it's you mentioned the Shepherd thing. They didn't make any splash. Julio Jones ends up going to Tennessee. I do want to real quick. Do you think that changes the pecking order in the AFC? I mean, does that bring them any closer to the Chiefs to add Julio Jones, or is adding an aging wide receiver as a new target for Ryan Tannehill still not enough in your mind?
I mean, given their offensive coordinator used to be the Raiders coordinator and their offense was terrible at that time. I mean, it didn't move the needle at all. And on top of it, I mean, the schemes based around giving Derrick Henry 30 to 40 carries a game. I mean, not really 40, but you're planning on giving 25 to 35, potentially sometimes up to 40 carries a game. And then you run play action pass with Jones and with Brown. I'm not saying that they're not a good duo, but they're just not the duo that this offense desperately needs to be able to succeed. So, I mean, that's fine that they did it. And I mean, we'll see how it shakes out, but I mean, I still don't think the Titans have a good pass rush. So, and that was a bigger problem for them last year than their offense.
Yeah. And that's what's kind of weird, because, you know, like you said, I mean, Julio Jones is a guy who I think has the most targets per game in NFL history. I mean, he's a high volume type guy. I don't know that. I just don't know how it fits. I mean, but you know, and Derrick Henry's a guy who, you know, you want to get him his carries, get him, you know, building up ahead of steam, getting him wearing down that, you know, the front seven of the other team. It's a bit of an odd fit for me. But look, the Chiefs, I think, you know, they've thrown a couple darts here in the wide receiver room. Darius Shepherd, Antonio Callaway. You know, I mean, Cornell Powell was a fifth round pick. Is that the one position you're still concerned about on the offense going into training camp?
Yes.
All right. Backup quarterback's always on my mind, Nick. But other than that, I feel confident.
Yeah, no, I'm a little concerned at wide receiver, a little concerned at safety, and we'll see how things work out at corner.
I was gonna say, in tight end depth, I think is one of those things. Behind Kelsey, you're hoping that some guys step up, whether it's Blake Bell or the rookie Noah Gray or whoever it might be.
Yeah, I think that situation, as long as no injuries happen, I think that one's locked up.
Yeah. All right. Hey, anything else you want to add?
No. Because you said if I want to add anything last time, and I certainly did, and we went on another 5 or 7 minutes. So no, I've got nothing.
All right, nothing at all. Okay. Well, in that case, take care, kids, and we will talk to you next week as we get inch ever closer to training camp.
Okay, thanks. Bye.